You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome into the show. This is Ethan Westerman hosting again for Matt Jones. I'm joined by Anthony Christensen, and we have a pretty big basketball win to recap for Arkansas last night. Number 20 Arkansas takes down number 15 Vanderbilt, 93-68. This one was really never in question. Just a dominant showing for Arkansas. I guess your just initial reaction to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting that. you know, I thought defensively, I thought it was Arkansas's best performance of the season relative to the competition. You know, they forced Vanderbilt into some bad shots. I thought they closed driving lanes really well. You know, did a lot of things that it took away a lot of things that Vanderbilt is very good at. So they're, yeah, Arkansas, I thought defensively was the best it had been against, you know, a quality opponent for the entirety of this season. You know, yeah, I mean, it was. And Vanderbilt also played just poorly. I think that's another part of it. But, you know, take nothing away from Arkansas and the Arkansas or the effort Arkansas had in that game, because that was probably the best Arkansas has played this season, at least up there with the best Arkansas has played this season, especially against, you know, a team as good as Vanderbilt has been this season. And yeah, I thought some of it, or a lot of it, kind of came down to what we talked about yesterday with Arkansas's size and athleticism, especially inside. I thought that caused Vanderbilt's, you know, a lot of problems when it was trying to get inside and get to the basket and all that. So, yeah, I mean, great win for Arkansas. Just, you know, like I said, I think probably the best performance Arkansas's had this season. So,
yeah, and fans definitely understood the assignment. I'd say Bud Walton's become really, I mean, just Arkansas's a different team when they play at home. Last night, it was clear from the jump. I mean, it's a late tip-off. This is 8:10 p.m. I know there were some people very worried at the start of the game because apparently on ESPN, I guess there was some sort of, like, I don't even know what the golf league. It's like alternative, some sort of, like, indoor golf
thing.
Like,
yeah, I have no idea. But it looks weird.
But it was going on at, like, 8:05, I guess, or something, you know, and people hear 8 p.m. tip-off. People were freaking out, apparently. But, yes, Arkansas tipped off at 8:10 p.m., not the 8 p.m. that they announced. And, man, the fans were there. I mean, it was, I'd say, Louisville was a really good, you know, home crowd. So was Tennessee on a Saturday. But I'd say that rivals about as, you know, lively of a home crowd as they've had all year long. And they needed it. I think that they really fed off that energy early. There were these, like, glow sticks, too. I don't know if you could pick this up on TV.
Those things are flying. Those are probably never coming back.
Yeah, I don't know if you could pick it up on TV, but anytime any Arkansas player did anything good, I mean, it was like those things
went flying. I was, like, trying to shield my laptop because I didn't want them to, like, because they had, like, the little plastic piece at the end that, like, turned the lights on and everything. I didn't want one of those to, like, hit my screen and, like, break it or something, which would have been quite extreme. That would have had to, like, launch that thing. Just like, yeah.
But were flying.
they were flying repeatedly. It was very fun.
But, I mean, that's a good thing for Arkansas. I mean, those things were flying because Arkansas was giving fans a reason to do weird things,
We were getting hit with them all night.
Yeah, but, I mean,
I got hit by at least four.
I didn't get hit by any because I was thankfully on, like, there's, like, a ledge kind of that covered me, so I just got to watch other people get hit by them. But, I mean,
you got to watch the bombardment.
They were fans had a lot of reasons to cheer last night. They piled in there. I thought that really the opening little sequence, I think Vanderbilt had to call a timeout before. It was under the threshold of when the first media timeout would happen. It was like 15-something, but like Byington was like, I can't wait for the next dead ball. Like, we got to call a timeout right now because Carter Knox hits that three off of kind of a busted play for Arkansas. If I'm getting it right on this play, it was the one that Darius Acuff went in for, like, trying to get the dunk of the year or something, and he got stuffed, but ends up the ball's on the ground. I think it was Nick Pringle who got it. Then Arkansas swings the ball around, finds Carter Knox. He knocks down a three. Really big game for Carter, offensively, 16 points. That just set the tone, I thought. You know, the Arkansas clearly fed off the energy of the crowd right away, kind of set that tone in the opening stanza. And it was behind, mentioned Carter's three and all that, but it really was the defense in that opening stanza.
Yeah, and I thought the ball movement was really good, too. I mean, 25 assists, 7 turnovers. Arkansas has gotten over 20 assists, I believe, in 7 games this year. And obviously they're 7-0 in those games and average over a 20-point win in those contests. And some of that is down to some of those games being against bye game opponents early in the season. But Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, South Carolina, those are obviously SEC teams, and Vanderbilt obviously the best of that group. But you know, the ball movement was exceptional, and I thought, yeah, and it was balanced too. It wasn't just Darius Acuff getting the assists. You know, he, Malik Thomas, and Trevin Brazil each had 5 assists that matched Trevin Brazil's career high in assists. And you know, DJ Wagner and Billy Richmond each had 3 assists. Not Carter Knox had 2. Malik Ewan and Nick Pringle both had 1. And you know, so it was a well balanced effort. You know, everybody on Arkansas's team had something to do with the win, and you know, it was just really good.
Yeah,
like, I think I don't know what else to say. It was just a really good effort.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of times with a team, the further you'll get into a season, you start to pinpoint like a statistic that really, like, just start watching that a lot more, and see how much of the story that's going to kind of tell with the team. I think we're starting to see assist to turnover with Arkansas really as an indicator of kind of how the game goes. You look at Arkansas, we'll go their most 3 recent wins in SEC play at Ole Miss, 19 assists, 11 turnovers, higher turnover maybe than they want, but still not bad. I mean, that's a good ratio. Arkansas against South Carolina, it's a 27-4 assist to turnover ratio. Last night against Vanderbilt, 25-7, and a few of those 7 comes in the little last sequence with the, you know, the end of your benching. But now let's look at the losses this year, and obviously these are on the road, where we know Arkansas plays like a different team. At Auburn, 9 assists, 11 turnovers. And then let me pull up Georgia. I think I know it off the top of my head, but going to make sure. Yeah, 18 turnovers. So that was ugly. 13 assists. So 13-18, not your assist to turnover ratio you want. Arkansas, when they play their best, they're sharing the ball. I think we come to learn that, and that might be the stat that going forward at the end of a game, you check and see how did Arkansas do in that category. Obviously, your assists a lot of times means you're scoring the ball too if you have a high assist numbers, because you got to make it. But it seems particularly for Arkansas, if they can get in that range of 15 or more assists and limit their turnovers to, you know, maybe 11 at maximum like they had against Ole Miss and below. I mean, this is a team that's when they're really clicking and looking like not just a team that can, you know, mess around and make the NCAA tournament and whatever. That's whenever they look like we can all say against South Carolina and Vanderbilt, they look like teams that can be a Final Four contender if they're playing like that. It's very much, I feel like, the ball security and then the passing is what separates Arkansas from being just a good or bad team like they've been at times to a really good team.
Yeah, but they could also win in other ways as well. I mean, I think they only had 7 assists against Tennessee, and I don't remember the exact figure it was against Louisville, but it wasn't in the 20s. I know that. So, I mean, that kind of, I guess, versatility, if you will, it's big, right? I mean, that's important. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's questionable that they're at their best when the ball is moving like it was yesterday. You know, I just, the one that sticks out to me is, you know, they tried to get it inside and there just wasn't a look there, so they swung it around the perimeter, and I think it was 4 or 5 passes. They get it to, you know, Malik Thomas, who was wide open and got a nice open lane and hit a pretty easy floater. So I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, this Arkansas team is really good at. And you know, like we keep saying, I thought the passing, the moving, the off-ball stuff, I thought was all really good in that game. But yeah, when they're at their best is when they're you know, playing like that. They're sharing the ball and passing, moving. Just it's never stagnant, and it's never one guy doing everything. As much as, you know, Darius Acuff has been phenomenal this season, you know, I think Arkansas is at its best when it's like this, when it's balanced and everything. And that's not to say that, you know, you can't have those, you know, 20 and 13 games that Darius Acuff has kind of become accustomed to. But, you know, you're going to need games like that, I guess, is the overarching point.
Yeah, on that thought, you know, I was kind of thinking about this last night. It's really With this Arkansas team, I feel like a lot of games this year, it's been kind of clear who, like, you know, maybe your player of the game was. Just like Darius Acuff has been a lot of the time. He's really the head of the snake. But you look at last night's game, and I felt like there were quite a few guys you could make an argument for. Like, oh, they might have been the player of the game just because it was a team performance. I guess maybe your thoughts on some of those guys that could have, you know, if we're going to name a player of the game. I had to do it in my game story last night. I picked Carter Knox just because it was a big offensive game. He kind of set the tone early. But I'm like, man, you really could have gone a number of ways with this. I mean, Trevon Brazil, double-double with a
matched a career high in assists. So, I mean, you could really go – you could make a case for just about anybody.
Yeah.
You know, Darius Acuff was really good again, especially in the second half. Tyler Tanner kind of slowed him down offensively in the first half, but then in the second half he really kind of found his form and was really good. We mentioned Trevon Brazil. Malik Thomas, you know, hit his first four shots. You know, his first start in SEC play and first start since November. You know, he really, I thought, was really good. You know, he had the five assists and all everything. You mentioned Carter Knox was outstanding. I thought Nick Pringle had a really nice night too, especially on the defensive end, though you don't have the blocks or steals. I thought he disrupted a lot. You know, same thing with Malik Ewan. You know, he was really good. I believe he finished with, what was it, 16 points? And, you know, he was good.
He was dunking, man.
Yeah.
He, all five, so Darius Acuff didn't have an assist in the first half, and all five of his in the second half were dunks.
Yeah.
It was a dunk party in there.
Yeah, no, it's, and like, you could, yeah, like I said, realistically make a case for, you know, 6-7 guys. I mean, DJ Wagner was really good and effective coming off the bench. I mean, it's just the second time in his career that he hasn't started. You know, in the first time since his freshman year at Kentucky, you know, when Kentucky hosted Gonzaga and he missed the three previous games with an injury. I don't remember if that was when he hurt his ankle or when that was, but it's just the second time he's come off the bench in his career, and I thought he was really good and really effective in that role, kind of coming in and being the primary ball handler for that second unit. So, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to say Billy Richmond was the player of the game. He only had 2 points and was 1 of 4 from the field, but, you know, he had the 3 assists, he had rebounds. I thought he was effective defensively. You know, even though he did have the 4 fouls, you know, I thought he did some good stuff against Tyler Tanner or Duke Miles, Devin McLaughlin, whoever it may be. You know, I thought he had some effective moments. So, yeah, it's hard to pinpoint one guy in particular, but just because there were so many good performances, I think you could realistically say there were 7 guys who you could reasonably say were the player of the game.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, if I was redoing it, because, I mean, this was a late game last night. I got done writing my stuff very, very late.
Ban 8 p.m. tips.
If I could go back, though, I really do think I would have chosen Trevon Brazil. He had such a complete game. He was, I mean, 10 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. And here's the big one, 4 steals for Trevon Brazil. Man, he had a really good game, and I just
4 steals, 2 blocks, and only 2 fouls.
Yeah, he's.
I mean, he was aggressive, and he did it largely without fouling.
And he's the player that, I mean, we've said it. I mean, I feel like ad nauseum this year that he can be an X factor for Arkansas, and it doesn't have to be. I think, you know, a lot of times when he's been that X factor, it's just been the big offensive game where he's knocking down threes and stuff. I don't think he made a three yesterday. He didn't. He got all of his scoring done inside, but I feel like he's the type of player when he can impact the game in a number of ways like he did last night. I mean, he takes this team to another level.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we've seen it with his offense just kind of throughout the season. Obviously, you know, the Texas Tech game is probably the one that comes to mind, and he was phenomenal in that game. But I mean, you know, defensively, you know, he's got, like we mentioned earlier, the size and length to disrupt a lot of things, and you know, he's getting into passing lanes, he's blocking shots, he's doing a lot of things that, you know, a lot of guys, you know, just can't do to the same level that he can. You know, he's 6'10", and, you know, he's just like a top 1% of people in the world at level athlete, just from an athleticism standpoint, and, you know, he's doing all that. I mean, the rebounding is obviously huge. 13 of his 14 rebounds were defensive rebounds, and, you know, obviously that's going to stop, you know, second chance opportunities and everything like that, so that's big. And then obviously he got it going on the offensive end as well, both in his scoring and in his passing. So, you know, he's a guy who, you know, you don't, or when he's on, I mean, Arkansas is probably at its best. You don't necessarily need him to go out and have a double-double every game by any means, but you know, when he's playing, especially to the level he was playing last night, you know, this, it just raises the ceiling for Arkansas a lot more. And yeah, he was phenomenal.
I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass, serving its community since 1971. Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them today at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Anthony, want to talk about the change to the starting lineup? I know you mentioned it a little bit with, you know, DJ Wagner coming off the bench. Billy Richmond, he started, right? Or am I making that up?
You're making that up. He started the previous game. Carter Knox started in his place last night.
I'm making stuff up today. This is not good. But
spreading misinformation online.
It was Malik Thomas starting. Billy Richmond started the game before. But this lineup that they had starting last night, Malik Thomas, Darius Acuff, Trevin Brazil, Carter Knox, Nick Pringle. I think that I would think a lot of times coaches, if something goes well, you keep doing it until it doesn't. I wouldn't be shocked to see this be the case until there's a reason for it to not be, having Malik Thomas in the lineup.
Yeah, no, I could see that being the case. But I mean, John Calipari is a guy who, you know, likes to tinker with his lineups from time to time. You know, obviously you want the consistency of doing that, and you don't want to disrupt, you know, your bench production a ton, you know, because Arkansas is one of the best, you know, bench scoring teams in the country. So I don't know how much you want to change that to, because, you know, anytime you change anything, there's the inherent risk with it, right? So there is that. But I mean, with the way they started last night, and, you know, kind of both offensively and defensively, I think Vanderbilt started what, 1 of 9 from the field, and
missed,
you know, that was, yeah,
they missed 15 of their first 18.
Yeah, so I mean, just, it was a really good start both offensively and defensively. So you can obviously, you can see, you know, why you would keep doing that. So I'm not sure, you know, if it is going to stay. Obviously, you know, DJ Wagner is a guy who, you know, can be effective off the ball, and obviously he can do it on the ball. We saw it. I think we saw both of those things last night. But yeah, it's interesting, because I think that you could very easily see this kind of sticking around. But, you know, I've always kind of been of the opinion that starting in basketball doesn't really matter that much, just because, you know, if you're playing 25, 28 minutes anyway, you're playing starter level minutes, especially in, you know, a system like this where you're subbing a lot. I mean, it's not like they're doing hockey line changes or anything like that, but, you know, they sub a lot, especially in modern basketball. You're not seeing guys staying out there for, you know, a ton of minutes all that often. Obviously you're going to have guys like that who are on the floor more often than not, but when you're playing, you know, almost 30 minutes anyway, I don't know that it matters too much. But, and John Calipari said the same thing last night, but yeah, I think you could certainly see that, especially with how well they started in that game.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that honestly, that it's, you know, maybe right to give DJ Wagner right now just some flowers for the way that I feel like he is fully embraced with this team, just whatever mm-hmm. they need him to do. And I think that nobody would argue with that now. I mean, he's been a guy who, if I'm not mistaken, had started every single game under Calipari here.
It was the first time he hadn't started since he transferred to Arkansas.
But yeah, you could not, like, you wouldn't have known it based on last night, just kind of his attitude and stuff it seemed like he played with. I mean, this is a guy who only played 16 minutes and had a really good game in those 16 minutes, but it seems like he's just maybe that exact, like, culture team guy that you need that is, I mean, it seems like he's all I care about is what's best for the team.
Yeah, no, for sure. And he, you know, he's always kind of been the guy who just does what he's asked to do, what he needs to do. And, you know, whether that's coming in and being the primary ball handler like he was, you know, for Arkansas last year when Boogie Fland went down, and, you know, he really kind of spearheaded the turnaround of the season. And then you go to this year and Darius Acuff is the ball handler, and it's pretty clear that the ball should be in his hands most of the time. And, you know, you need somebody to, you know, be that off ball guard and be there to take that on whenever it's needed. And, you know, he's done that. So, you know, and maybe the numbers aren't, you know, what they have been in the past for DJ Wagner, but, you know, he's still doing a lot of things, you know, pretty well. He's still shooting the ball. He's shooting the highest percentage from three in his career so far. You know, he's, You know, he's got the best turnover rate of his career to this point. And a lot of that, obviously, is going to come down to not having the ball as much. But, you know, still, you know, he's doing what he needs to do. He's doing what he's asked to do. So I think that's obviously a big and important piece of what Arkansas needs.
And he might be the king of this. I've said this for a while. Whenever you're, like, kind of diagnosing a game and who played well and stuff, there's not really a I mean, obviously, you can record defensive stats for, like, blocks and steals. It's not really on the stat sheet, just the guys like DJ Wagner that I just feel like play good, solid, I'm guarding you defense, and you can see it with your eyes that they're really important defensively. I think Carter Knox had one of those games last night too, for the most part. I think he had maybe a lapse or so early, but there's a lot of value in these guys who you just watch with your eyes that they're playing really good defense and just keeping their man in front of them. And DJ Wagner, I feel like the defense is what sets him apart in my eyes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, he's always been a pretty strong, you know, on ball defender, and I thought we saw that a lot last night. You know, we didn't see him against Tyler Tanner too much, but I thought he did a nice job against Duke Miles. And you know, Duke Miles, you know, like we talked about yesterday, I felt was, you know, a big reason as to why Vanderbilt had, you know, kind of turned some things, maybe not around, but like, you know, offensively has turned it up. And I mean, defensively, I think he's been a big part of why Vanderbilt has had the defensive success it has so far this season. But you know, he's a big piece of the offense too. And I thought DJ Wagner did a really nice job of guarding him and kind of keeping him in check and making sure that, you know, he wasn't a huge option. So yeah, he was good all around.
Last night's game was one that maybe I shouldn't speak for everyone who was watching the game, but at least sitting in my seat in Bud Walton, I never felt, you know, past the, whenever Arkansas made it like 34-14 earlier, I was like, it never felt in question to me, the result. No. Even whenever Vanderbilt had that little, you know, spurt right before halftime where it's crazy. Tyler, they came into the game.
Tyler Nichol hit a few shots. And, yeah.
It's crazy. They came into the game dead last in the SEC in offensive rebounding, and I don't think they even got that many last night. They got 9, but they cashed in with 20 second chance points, and it felt like every single offensive rebound there for a little bit was just ending up in a Tyler Nichol 3 from way out there. I mean, that guy give him some space. He's pulling the trigger, and man, he kept Vanderbilt in it there for a little bit. And I think that one of the most key things from last night, he has 17 in the first half, 0 in the second. Arkansas made some good adjustments there.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think some of that was down to, if I'm not mistaken, I thought Carter Knox was guarding him for a bit in the second half. You know, I thought the rebounding in the second half was better. So I think that's obviously going to be part of it. And then I just thought that they were closing him down. They were, you know, getting in his way and just didn't really give him the opportunity to shoot. And I think that was kind of, again, kind of going back to the defense. You know, I thought it was Arkansas's best defensive game of the season. And, you know, especially given, you know, how good of an offensive team Vanderbilt is, you know, I was thoroughly impressed with that. The adjustment made to take away those opportunities for him to get those shots and all of that. So yeah, I very good.
Yeah, I wrote about this last night in the game story I wrote, but Arkansas, I mean, you know, 4-2, obviously it's good. It's a good start to your SEC play. I don't think people would really, you know, given the success Arkansas had with some Elite Eights in this past decade or whatever, and a few Sweet 16s, think that this was the best start since 2014-15. I think it's because a lot of those good Eric Musselman teams started off really, really slow, and then they kicked it into gear. But hey, this 4-2 start for Arkansas is its best since 2014-15. And we mentioned this yesterday about how this next little series of games is going to be important for if they want to challenge for the SEC title. They took care of business in the one that, you know, maybe, you know, at least on paper with rankings and stuff, was the big, you know, oh, Vandy, it's going to be a tough one. Well, they passed that one with ease. Now they've got really a pivotal, in my eyes, two-game stretch of games against teams that, frankly, they should beat.
Yeah.
And you know, LSU on Saturday, we know Arkansas played very well at Bud Walton Arena. We're watching the weather to see if, you know, if that's going to impact the crowd on Saturday. I would bet that people find a way to still make it in there. But, I mean, it could be definitely a factor. And then they'll obviously going to talk about this a lot, I'm sure, going into the game at Oklahoma, how they need to play better on the road. But that's a good opponent to start figuring some things out against on the road in Oklahoma, that's struggling right now. I think Arkansas, you know, these next two games, it could be really, you know, what you look back on it and see whenever Arkansas started to maybe right some wrongs and against teams that, you know, maybe provide you a little bit more leeway to make those corrections and whatnot.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, I mean, LSU and Oklahoma are both struggling pretty big time. I mean, LSU is 1-5 in SEC play right now and just kind of got handled by Florida. And, you know, some of that is kind of down to some injury problems. They just got Dayton Thomas back in that Florida game, if I'm not mistaken, that was his first game back, which I believe it was. You know, Jalen Reed's been out for a long time. So, I mean, they've had some injury issues, but still, I mean, that's a team that, you know, they're pretty desperate to get some wins. I mean, you know, the athletics director at LSU made it pretty clear that, you know, Matt McMahon's on the hot seat. So, I mean, they need to get some wins and get them pretty fast. And so, I mean, that's going to be a huge game for LSU. So, I mean, Arkansas is going to have to match that intensity. You know, and we've talked about it. I mean, the Auburn game that went down there, Auburn was desperate, as John Calipari put it. You know, Georgia needed a win after the buzzer beater loss to Ole Miss. They were desperate for that. Arkansas is going up against another team that is desperate, as Vanderbilt was, to get, you know, kind of off of a little bit of a, you know, a slide. So they're going to need to kind of do the same thing there. And then Oklahoma stinks, you know, also 1-5 in the SEC. So, I mean, that's a game that they're going to, you know, be expected to win, you know, road game or not. You know, that's a game that you should win, you know, especially on paper. But, you know, I mean, Oklahoma really, you know, worked Ole Miss in that first SEC game. But then, you know, since then, it's been bad. Yeah. You know, got killed by Mississippi State, who projects, you know, analytically as the worst team in the SEC. You know, had a battle against A&M on the road, but still came up short, and then just has gotten, you know, got killed by Florida. He lost by 9 points to South Carolina, and then, you know, should have beaten Alabama, to be fair, but, you know, kind of threw that game away down the stretch. So, I mean, that's, you know, Oklahoma can challenge teams like we saw against Alabama, but and against Texas A&M, but, you know, it's still, regardless, that's a game that if you're Arkansas, you expect to win, but, you know, as we've seen, going on the road is not exactly an easy thing. You know, I believe they're winless in true road games so far this season. Arkansas is.
No, they beat Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah. That was more of a neutral site game. everybody in Oxford, you know, was they had different priorities. There was a football game the next day. Nobody was really paying attention. It felt like a neutral site game. It was kind of weird, but. All right, so fine. They're 1-3 in true road games, and yeah, so it'll be tough. You know, it's conference play. No conference game is going to be easy, no matter what conference you're in. You know, for the most part, unless you're in the SWAC and you play Mississippi Valley State. But yeah, interesting couple games.
Yeah, and I said, you know, a couple games that they might have some leeway to make some corrections and. Maybe you even don't have your best game and could still have a chance to win. But I'll be the first to say in the SEC, the moment that you do take an opponent lightly and don't show up, I mean, you very well can lose. So important stretch of games for Arkansas. Regardless, it's a chance to improve that that start to conference play that, like I said, is the best in 11 seasons. So Arkansas also has a chance on Saturday against LSU to improve to 12-0 in games at Bud Walton this year, which would mark the deepest. It would tie the 2011-12 season for the deepest that they've been unbeaten at home.
13-0 in the state of Arkansas in general.
Yeah, so they've played really well at home, and that's not a secret. I think that if I have my numbers right, there's been 10 seasons all time for Arkansas where they've stayed unbeaten at home. And I think Arkansas, you know, you see the way they play right now at home, and you don't want to get ahead of yourself because there's a lot more, you know, basketball to play. But they really have a chance, I think, this year to do something special like that in their own building, have one of those records that gives you a chance, at least, as long as you can figure out some of these road games. And the SEC gives you a chance, though, to do some special things. Well, we'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. Until then, you can check our work at wholehogsports.com.
What's just that? Completed the hat trick.
We did you complete a hat trick.
You and me, 3 days in a row.
It was us 3 days in a row. It might be me tomorrow. We'll stay tuned on that. But have a good day, everyone.